Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Just one day at a time, amen. That's good. That's good. Amen. Anybody any other blessings? Go ahead, Bert, Kevin. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead, Virgin.
Lori got saved on Sunday.
Amen.
She has so many prayers.
Amen.
So
amen. 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 All heaven is rejoicing. Anybody else? Go ahead, Bill. One more. Go ahead.
I've been to the doctor 2 weeks ago. I had 11 and a half appointments and he told me, I said, I'm ready back to you, so I don't want to see anymore.
That's good. Amen. 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 I've got one blessing as well. I'm just thankful for my wife. My wife, you know, sometimes your wife's your best friend and she's by your side and you take her for granted, but then you realize just what a blessing a wife is. And how God has blessed my life by giving me a prudent wife. Amen. I'm just thankful for that. Please turn your Bibles to 1 John. I'm probably going to lose you at first here, but there's a point to this. 1 John. Right the way in the New Testament, you have the book of 1 John. And 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 in verse 4, and it says this in the Word of God. 1 John 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now faith's a wonderful thing, amen. It says it's the faith that gives us the victory over this world. And in Jude, it talks about the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. But that faith in itself, man, if you're a Christian for a good while and you're trying to walk by faith, you're trying to live the best way you know how, you know that a just person, a just man falls how many times? Seven times, but he gets up again. So you can have faith and you can read your Bible. You can be a good, godly Christian and you can still fail, amen? It's just the way it is. The Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small, in Proverbs 24:10. Then, the greatest motivation we have to be Christians is love. I mean, you're not going to find a greater love than John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the greatest love story of all time. Amen. You're not going to find the latest movie or something from Hollywood or find anything that's greater than that kind of love. That sacrificial love. The Bible says, greater love and no man than lay down his life for his friend. That's the love of Calvary. That's the love that is so incredible. The perfect sacrifice, laying down his life on the cross for the sins of the whole world. But you know, even that love that motivates us to get up out of bed in the morning, and that love that gets us to go and try to reach souls for Christ, that love, you know, you can grow cold in that kind of love. If you're a Christian for a long time, you realize that love sometimes grows cold. Then fear. Fear is a wonderful thing, amen. The Bible says, just go to Proverbs chapter 1, please. Proverbs chapter 1. Right in the middle of your Bible, you've got Psalms, and then you have Proverbs. You know, it's amazing. Fear and love go hand in hand. Amen. As a daddy, you'll understand that. You'll understand that your kids, you love them with all your heart. But you know that they need to fear you a little bit to respect you. Amen? Isn't that true? Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing. The Bible says in Psalms 19, it says the fear of the Lord is clean. Yeah. It cleans us up, amen. And then also Proverbs 8, verse 13. 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord keeps us in line, amen. It keeps us doing what we're supposed to do, because we fear God. And I like this, Proverbs as well, Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, in verse 14, it says, happy is a man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. The fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing. But you know, if you fear God, and I hope you really do, sometimes we kind of, you know, when sin comes along and attracts us, the fear of the Lord kind of gets weaker and weaker. I'll give you an example of that. Go to Jonah. Go to Jonah. Jonah did not want to do the Lord's will. In Jonah chapter 1. In the Minor Prophets, a little book called Jonah. And please don't lose me, because there's a purpose to all this. Just, you have Minor Prophets, and just want to find Jonah there in the Minor Prophets. Jonah chapter 1. And Jonah 1 in verse 9, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. But let me ask you a question. Did Jonah really fear God? Remember, he's running from God. Now, the fear of the Lord brings obedience. So here, Jonah is running from God. So I question, did he really fear God? I question us, as Christians, do we really fear God? If we're not doing what God tells us to do. Amen? Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord, it produces an obedience, it keeps us in line. And what I'm trying to say is, faith is a wonderful thing, but your faith will waver at times. Your love will grow cold at times. And fear, sometimes we get close to some sin, or we get close to some sort of thing in our life, and we kind of waver in that fear. But, see, you have to look at the object of our faith and the object of our love and the object of our fear. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the thing I want you to get tonight is that He's coming back. He's coming back. And He's coming back to judge the world in His second coming. But He's coming back for the Christians. Now I want you to go to 2 Timothy. Let me introduce you what I want to talk about tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Right in the New Testament. Just after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, you have three little books in 1st and 2nd Timothy. But I want you to find 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now this, in context, is Paul's final letter. This is his final farewell. So he's going to say stuff in this chapter that is very, very profound. He says in verses chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he gives the charge. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And he says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He's giving here Timothy a charge. He says, I want you to preach the word, amen? And preach sin. Preach the reality of sin. And then it goes on in verse 3, he gives a warning. And he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but afterwards, after their own lust, shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. I like that. It's a nice description of preachers today who don't preach the book. Amen. They preach everything but the book. They preach about the social the social standings and all that, but they don't preach what really counts, and that is sin, and preaching about the holiness of God and things like that. And then I want to see in verse 5, I want to see what Timothy's ministry was to be. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He was to be watching and doing and making full proof of being a church planter and so forth like that. But verses 6, 7 and 8 are really Paul's final farewell. And he says this, he says in 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul is getting ready to die. He's getting ready to go before Nero and to lose his head in a literal sense. In verse 7, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." Amen. But verse 8 is, if you ever want to understand the key that motivated the Apostle Paul, it's verse 8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Amen? The thing I want to get you tonight is, do you really love his appearing? The title of the message is "Loving His Appearing." Amen. You know, we sometimes at work, the boss leaves you, and you don't have no boss around, so you kind of relax. You know, the boss is away, but you still want to get the work done because you know he's coming back. Amen. And that's the same way with the Lord. He's coming back one day, folks. He could come back before this message is over. Would you be ready? Are you ready? Do you really love his appearing? Amen. You know, I was thinking in a home, if Eileen is thinking that some guest or some person is going to show up, she'd keep the house nice and clean so that if someone shows up, we would be ready. We wouldn't be caught off guard. But that's the same way the Lord is. That's the way, Christian needs to be towards the Lord. Because he could come back any minute. Amen. Any minute. Any second. In a twinkle of an eye. Twinkle of an eye. In the Bible, it talks about crowns, and it says there's basically five crowns. Crown of life, James 1:12, which is "He that overcometh the things of this world." Amen. Crown of glory for a pastor, of a shepherd who guides a flock faithfully. Amen. Crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Crown incorruptible, 1 Corinthians 9:25. And then here in 2 Timothy 4:8, we have a crown of righteousness. Amen. And it's to them that love his appearing. Amen. Do you really love his appearing? I began to look at this. Because you know, when you love his appearing, you get everything in focus. Amen. You get everything so that you understand that he can come back any moment. And you know, your faith is increased. Your love is motivated. Amen. If this was the last day you had upon this planet, your love would be really, really motivated. Amen. You wouldn't be able to pass a person in the street. You would be faithful. You would just go out there. Man, people would lock you away and think you'd be crazy. That's just the way it would be if you really knew he was coming back today. I want to pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, please bless this message. Thank you for God's people. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for this blessed church. And our Lord, I pray you give me liberty. Please help me. I ask that you'd help me now. And I pray, God, I'd only say what you'd have me to say. And I would, if there's stuff I'm going to say that, Lord, is not needed, please just erase it out of my mind. And I ask all this, hide me behind the cross, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. Let me talk about five things that will help us just keep the Lord, keep that love for him, and keep our relationship with him so that we would love his appearing. Amen. Let me just say five things that would benefit us. Number one, it keeps us focused. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. It keeps us focused. You know, if you think the Lord's coming back tomorrow or today, you will be a focused Christian. Amen. You will be just focused. You get things in priority, get the right priorities very, very quickly, because the fear of the Lord grips your heart. Hebrews 12, and look what it says in Hebrews 12, verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus," as a Christian is supposed to do, amen, "the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." He went through the cross. He went through all the mockery. Even though his body was racked with pain, he went through it for you and for me. Greatest love story ever told. Amen. Notice what it says in verse 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, lest sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. We need to consider him, because he is coming back, amen. He is not a God that has given us a book and has left us and he's not coming back. He's coming back. And the Bible says he's coming back very, very soon. Man, if you look at the news today, it should excite you. Amen? It should excite you that he's coming back soon. Everything that the news talks about. Israel, when you see Israel and we see the stuff that's going on there, it's Jacob's the trembling of the cup of Jacob, because Israel is that, and it will help us understand that he's coming back very soon. You know, if I remember when I got saved in 1992, and all the books were out about prophecies, and all the books were talking about Israel back in the land. Man, there was such a hype, and then 2000 came and it passed, and it kind of died down a little bit. But you know, he's coming back very soon. And the church is kind of sleeping now. It's kind of lulled into a sleep. But he's coming back very, very soon. We have to get our eyes on him. We have to get our eyes on. We have to live each day as if he's coming back. Amen? Just live each day, because he is coming back very, very soon. He keeps us focused on what really matters. You know, the Bible says, if you think that your Lord is coming back tomorrow, you will be in your Bible. You'll be reading your Bible, because that's the only thing that will keep you clean, amen. It will keep you clean. It says now, in John 15, verse 3, it says, now are you clean through my word. It will keep you clean. You know, you'll be excited about seeing people saved, amen. You'll be excited because you know those souls get saved, and then you can bring them to Christ, and they will be in heaven for all eternity, amen. For all eternity. Think how long eternity is. You know, it's tragic, but when someone doesn't get saved and they go through this life and they harden their heart and they go through and they don't get saved, they spend all of eternity in hell. And think about that. Think about that word eternity for a second. It's never ending. Never ending. And not alone that, but the fire and brimstone. But not alone that, the darkness. All of that horror that will go on in hell, that the Bible gives us a glimpse into. And it's a horrible thing for people who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Will spend eternity in hell. And you know, the Lord is ever so kind, ever so gentle. He tries to get people to understand that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of is the way of death. And that's eternal death. But as Christians, we need to get our focus on the Lord, because what really matters at the end of this life is all that we do for Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all that matters. To do something for him in this life. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 84, it says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Just to do something in the house of God than dwell in tents of wickedness any day. Amen. Just to dwell out there in the world. Man, I'd rather be just a servant of the Lord, just a humble, bumble kind of guy, just trying to do my best, rather than all the riches of this world. It means nothing at the end of the day, amen. Get your focus right, amen. Just realize how brief this life is. Turn to Psalms 90. Psalms 90. Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible, little... Psalms chapter 90. Psalms 19 verse 10. Psalms 19 verse 10, it says, if the days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, meaning 80 years, yet in their strength, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, I like this last part, and we fly away. Amen. Notice what it says then in verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Amen. I like how the Bible puts it. It says days. That's all we have in this earth. Days. You know, we... The Bible says our life is just but a vapor. It appeared for a little time, and then it's gone. Man, it's all that does, all that we do for Christ is what lasts. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, "Boast not thyself on tomorrow, for you don't know what a day is going to bring forth." Jesus could come back before this message is over. You didn't realize that? And that's the reality of it. Pray the Lord would just show you that reality tonight. The Holy Spirit would bear witness to you that is the reality. Jesus could come back just before I'm finished even a sentence. Amen. It could happen that quick. Now, there's two events in the Bible. There is the coming of Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 1. There is the second coming of Christ. Acts chapter 1, please. After the Gospels, you have the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And we know the second coming of Christ because it says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So this is Jesus, and he goes up into the cloud, out of their sight. Verse 10, "And while they looked steadfast toward heaven," here they are, and they're looking up. "As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white," there was white apparel, "two angels here," and they have to tell him something. Verse 11, "which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." When he comes, in the second coming of Christ, every eye shall see him. Amen. You won't be able to miss it. He will come, and this world may not like him coming back at that time, but he's going to come. Every eye will see him. It talks about over in the Old Testament, he will come up the King's Highway. His feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives. It will be an event that you will not be able to miss, but we won't be here, amen. Because go now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The next event that's going to happen is called the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this can happen at any moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." I hope it's not caught. "Together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Man, that's called the rapture, and that's a blessed hope, amen. Notice what it says there in verse 9. "For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ." That is the blessed hope of the Christian, amen. All in the Old Testament, you have pictures of the rapture. You have Noah going into the ark, and how God takes out the righteous before judgment falls on this world. It's just a picture in the Old Testament. And here you have the rapture spoken about. It's the blessed hope of the Christian, amen. And it's going to happen one day, and we need to realize that it could be at any moment. We need to keep focused on the fact that he's soon returning. It's also talked about there in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. "But the times of the season, brethren, ye have no need, I have to write unto you, but for yourselves know perfectly, the day of the hour shall cometh as a thief in the night." He's going to come, and people are not going to rise. It's going to be like a thief in the night. The church is asleep today, amen. I honestly believe, if you were to look at the whole of Christianity, even born-again Christianity, Bible-believing Baptist churches, we're asleep today, amen, because we've forgotten that he could come back at any moment. Any moment. Any moment. Let me also say, it keeps us pure. Go to 1 John chapter 3, please. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon..." Let me just slow down a little. 1 John chapter 3, please. "Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice verse 3. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. Amen. There's something about realizing that Jesus is coming back. And when you love, he's appearing, it purifies you. Amen. It purifies you inside. You know, you need church to be built up in the most holy faith. But you also need to have an understanding that your Savior could come back at any moment. It keeps you clean. It purifies you inside. You know, a sin loses its attraction. Amen? The pleasure of sin just loses its attraction because the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he's coming back. And he can come back at any moment. The Lord did that on purpose. Because he wants you to understand that you need to be always watching. Amen. And as a church, we need to be always watching. We need to understand that he can come back at any moment. He keeps us pure. It keeps us pure in thought. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. And let me ask you a question. If you've got a television, and there's nothing wrong with television, but just examine yourself in the light of Philippians chapter 4. Because there is very little that's pure on television. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, when I think about something, that's how I usually act out. Amen? And when I think about things that are pure, things that are true and honest, man, that changes the character inside of me. Amen? And that's why the Bible says that when you think about things that are pure, man, it gives you victory. Go also to Titus chapter 1, please. Titus, just a few pages over, you've got 1 Thessalonians, then you've got Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. It says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Even our mind and conscience is defiled. But you know, the same is true. When you're pure, your mind and your conscience is pure as well. Amen. And that's the thing we have to understand. Purity is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing for a young lady to stay pure. Amen. Just to stay pure. Pure. And it's a wonderful thing that when our kids are pure. Amen. You know, it's wonderful when you see marriage and just the fact that they've stayed pure. They've kept themselves from this old world. And they've stayed pure. It's just a wonderful thing. Purity is worth fighting for. Amen. Also, I want you to see James chapter 1. Just a few pages over. After Hebrews, you have James. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Again, in the light of his soon coming. In the light of love and his appearing. James 1 verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Hey, you know, if you go visit the widows and the fatherless, you no one's probably going to know that. But the Lord knows it, amen? The Lord knows it. And that's what the Bible says, pure religion, amen? It keeps us pure. It keeps us pure. Pure in our religion. Pure in our hope. Go to Job chapter 19. Old Testament Job. Right in the middle of the Old Testament, you've got Job. Psalms. Job 19. You know, Job is in a deep, deep trial here. His flesh is all consumed. Boils are all over his body. He's on an ash heap. And notice what he says. This blows me away. Job 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms shall destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Amen. And then he says, whom shall I see for myself? And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I love, that's a promise from the Word of God. Amen. Even though these worms will consume this old body one day, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Amen. I will see him. I will look into his wonderful face. I will see the purity of his eyes. I'll probably be hit in the dust, like John, Revelation chapter 1. I'll probably hit the dust and be so ashamed. But I'm so glad that one day I will see him. Amen. Yeah. I will see him in all his glory. What a wonderful day. Pure from the pollution of this world. Go back to James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. Right after Hebrews, book of James, James chapter 4. And I just want you to see the context of James chapter 4. It says in verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, and lust that war in your members? And notice verse 4, the problem here, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye that friendship of this world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore is a friend of this world is the enemy of God. And I want to say this also in verse 9. It says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See, these Christians, they had one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity. And that doesn't work, amen. It's going to make life very, very hard for you. Because you're trying to balance things. You're trying to live for the world. And you're trying to live for God. And you know what? You kind of straddle the fence and you soon fall off the fence. Amen. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And these Christians were trying to do that. And they were polluted from this world. And then there was trouble in the church because of the pollution of the world that was going on in their lives. We need to be just wholly, completely given to Christ. Knowing that he could come back at any moment. It keeps us pure. Let me also say, it keeps us faithful. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Just a few pages over to the left there. We've got the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 gives us a definition of what faith is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It's one thing to realize that he's coming back, amen. And I will see him one day. But you know, if I get into this book, and I read this book, I read the scriptures, I begin to see him, amen. I begin to see him by the eyes of faith. And that is wonderful, because then I keep in mind that he can come back at any one moment, at any minute. And it's one of the things to realize that it keeps me faithful. Faithful on what? On what he gives us in our life. Go to Luke chapter 19, please. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. In verse 12, it says this. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass, when he had returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good and faithful good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Now, I believe these are literal cities, amen. I just believe that's the way the Lord works it. But this third guy, he kept it in a napkin. Now, if God has given you, you know, God has given us all different areas, different parts of the body. He's given us all different abilities in the church. We're to use him for him, amen. We're to use him. Because if we don't, it says here, he'll take it away from us, amen. Just to be faithful. And the key is here, just to be faithful with whatever the Lord has given you. Where is the singing voice? That's not me. But where is the singing voice? Just sing unto the Lord, amen. Make a joyful noise. Even if you can't sing, just sing unto the Lord anyway. But, you know, if he's given you a good voice, or if he's given you just a different ability, just live it for the Lord, amen. Live it fully, completely unto the Lord. And don't be afraid of who's looking at you. Don't be ashamed. Just be very afraid of him one day, amen. Keep your focus on the Lord, that he's soon coming back. Just to be faithful over what he gives us. Faithful over his work. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 42. It says this. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. It's just obvious here. If you know what time the thief is coming, you're going to protect your house. You would watch it. But notice what it says in verse 44. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour that ye think not the Son of Man cometh. How close are we to the rapture? How close are we? It's got to be very close, because all the signs are there. The church is sleeping today, amen. We're just sleeping. And I know people are getting saved. Thank God for that. Thank God for faithful men and women going out, knocking on doors, telling people about Christ. But for the majority of churches out there, they are sleeping, man. There's a sleep going on. And we need to wake out of that sleep, knowing that he could come back at any moment. Faithful to always be ready. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, we are to always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks for the hope that's in us. And we're to be always ready. Sometimes you only get one chance, but you need to be ready. Amen. As a Christian, you need to know different things about evolution and things like that. Because someone might ask you a question. We ought not to be ignorant of those kind of things. We need to study to show ourselves approved. Just have an understanding. And sometimes you might say, okay, I don't know. Well, that's okay too. But at least you tried. Amen. Yeah. You tried. And also, when we love his appearing, keeps us accountable. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now we know Pastor Craig's gone to the States. Amen. And he's not coming back for 4 months. He's not coming back for 4 months. You know, the old saying is, when the cat's away, what's it? When the cat's away, the mouse will play. But you know what? Get your eyes off Pastor Craig and just get your eyes on the Lord, because the Lord can come back at any moment. Amen. Any moment. And we need to be accountable to him, because he's always watching. He sees us in everything we do. He sees us in our private moments. He sees us when we think sin comes knocking on our door, and we think maybe it's with the remote control, there's a temptation going on. He sees us, amen. He sees us. And we need to be always watching, because he sees everything. Everything, amen. And he still hasn't killed me. That shows you the mercy of God, amen. That shows you the mercy of God. Because he's always at hand. Philippians chapter 4 verse 5 says, because the Lord is at hand, amen. And it says also, notice the nature of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Back in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And notice the context of Hebrews 10 verse 13, 31. For we know him that had said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense of the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So this is talking to the Christian, amen. And notice what it says about God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Man, that's a fearful thing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to get the context again here. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Context. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we have served God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This is talking to the Christian here again. And it says in verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. We need to get our eyes on the Lord. We need to get our eyes on the nature of the Lord. He is a holy, holy God. Actually, in Isaiah it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Holiness, purity. And just realize that he can come back in any moment because of the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. That's where we need to focus on. You know, the Christian, we will not be judged for our sin. Amen. But we will be judged for our works. Amen. We will be judged for our works. And that's the reality of Christianity. 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? I want to tell you, the judgment seat of Christ is scary. You can look at it any way you want, but there needs to be a fear there of the judgment seat of Christ that we have. Not for our sin. Our sin is paid for, amen. Past, present, and future. Our sin is paid for. Our sin is washed in the blood. But what we do from the moment we get saved to when we meet the Lord Jesus, He's going to judge us for that, amen. He's going to judge us for that. And there'll be rewards that will be missed out because of that. And that's the reality of Christianity. You can look at this Bible any way you want. That's what the Bible says, amen. And we need to understand that's the truth of it. Most churches don't preach that today, but that's the reality of it. We will be judged for our works, for what we do. And you know, the Bible says we're saved unto good works. That we would just get our eyes on the Lord and we'd work for Him. And it's a joyful, it's a wonderful thing to work for Him, to know that He loves us so much and that He wants to make something of our lives, amen. He wants to make something of our lives. It keeps us accountable. And let me say, fifthly, it will keep us looking up. It will keep us looking up. You know, if I'm looking up, if I go around, just give a silly example, if I go to work tomorrow and I look up the whole day, I'm not going to get anything done because I'm looking up. That's a silly, silly example. But what I want to say to you is, if you're looking up, you can't get too attached to this world, amen? You cannot get too attached to this world. And that's the way the Lord designed it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Ear of God, little children, and the whole world light and wickedness." You know, if you're a Christian and you're looking unto the Lord, you're looking unto your blessed hope, you cannot get too attached to this world. There's just something about our home in heaven. There's something about just the fact that one day we're going to be with Him for all eternity. Now, I want to be the best I can as an employee to employer and so forth like that. But I also want to keep my eyes on the Lord. Amen. I know that He's coming back one day. The Bible calls us peculiar people. And let me tell you why it calls us peculiar people. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9. It says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Amen. Marvelous light. He's chosen us. You know, when I accepted Christ, I'm in Christ. And it's a blessed, wonderful thing. But the Bible calls me a peculiar, we call the church a peculiar people. And we need to be peculiar in the sense of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." The first thing you see here is we're strangers and pilgrims. We're not a part of this world, amen. I don't fit in. I never will. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. This world is, how does that go? This world is not my home. I don't want to sing because I can't sing. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel home in this world anymore. Amen. Amen. The fact is, I can't feel home in this world anymore. Dennis, can you feel home in this world? I just can't. There's something about this old world. When you get saved, when you realize your home is in heaven, you just cannot. You're a stranger, and you're what the Bible says, a sojourner upon this earth. I love 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Let me show you that verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. If ye call on the Father, who without respect to persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Amen. That's just a stranger. That's just someone who is passing through. I like that. I like that. Because this is not my home. You know, this world could fall apart. But I'm a Christian. I belong to a different, I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of heaven when I got saved. Amen. And also turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. And this here is Abraham. It says, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. He wasn't happy with the strange country. He looked for a city. He looked for a place. We've a home in heaven, amen. We've a home one day. And you know, the sorrow and the sickness and the trouble that we have upon this earth, it will all fade away one day, amen. And we have, you know what will make heaven so great? Only one person. It's not the you know, in Revelation chapter 4, it talks about the rainbow, about the throne. It talks about the sea of glass. It talks about all the splendor of heaven. The only thing that's going to make heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. He that sits upon the throne, that's the only thing that's going to make heaven, amen. And we need to get our eyes on the Lord, to love His appearing, because that gets the focus, gets us focused right back on Him, amen. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, right in the Old Testament, a little book called Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. You've got Psalms, Proverbs, and then you've got Ecclesiastes. I like what it says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God had set the one over against the other to the end that man should not find nothing after him. You know, God puts a little bit of trouble in your life. God puts a little bit of trials in your life. So you never quite get comfortable on this earth. Amen? And He does that for a reason, so that you would realize that you cannot be content until you go to Him in glory. Amen? That's the only place you'll find contentment. You're not going to find it. I mean, you're going to be, the Lord says He's not going to forsake you or anything like that upon this planet. He loves you and all that, but you're not going to find just a resting place. The Bible talks about in Hebrews, just a resting place for the people of God. And the true resting place that we're going to find one day is in heaven. Amen. And the Bible says, for I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither had it enter the heart of man, things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Amen. It's going to be incredible just to be in heaven. It's not going to be boring. I guarantee you it's not going to be boring. The book says it's going to be exciting. Amen. You know, you think of the universe and you think of all the planets and the galaxies. All that's going to come into play one day. That's what I believe. I believe it's all going to come into play one day, because the God who made this planet and made everything, He's going to, I mean, man, it's going to be exciting. That's all I know. I know from the Bible, it talks about Jesus. He was able to walk through walls. He was able to just do anything He wanted to do. And you know, the one thing about heaven that will be so good, not just that Jesus will be there, but there will be no sin. There will be no sin. We won't be able to sin. Man, that will be incredible. That is just mind-boggling when you think about it. We won't be able to sin. And we'll have, and it will be for all eternity. All eternity. All eternity. 10,000 years, and it'll just seem like a drop in the bucket, amen. 10,000 years, oh, it'll be incredible. Just realize, and Jesus will be on the throne, amen. He'll be on the throne. He'll be on the throne of our hearts. And also Luke chapter 21. Luke Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 21. You know, when you see all the stuff on the news, don't let your heart get fretting or worry or find yourself just caught up with all the different things going on in the world. When you see the economy collapsing and you see all these things going on, don't let it grip your heart so much. Instead, just get a little bit excited because he's coming back very, very soon. This world, you know, the economy, the global situation is falling apart. It's falling apart. But you know, as a Christian, we have hope. Amen. Notice what it says in Luke 21, verse 28. Luke 21, verse 28. And when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Your redemption. Now this is talking about the second coming, but it's the same is true about the rapture, man. When you see those things falling into place, and we see all the world and the different things taking place, man, just look up and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's exciting to be a Christian, amen. It's exciting, even in this dark old world where we are just pilgrims, we're just strangers, we're just passing through, amen. It's exciting because we've got a hope that this world knows nothing of, amen. We have a hope, and we need to be able to go and tell people of that hope. And let me say also, let me just say this, if Jesus was to come back this very day, would you be ready? Would you really be ready? Is your house in order? You know, say God says to Hezekiah, he says, get your house in order, you're coming home. Would our house be ready? You know, is there something in our life that we've not gotten the victory of? Man, there's still time. There's still time to get the victory over. We could get the victory over. We could say, okay, Lord, I'm gonna give up. I'm gonna not look at or something like that. I'm gonna do it for you, Lord. And Jesus could come back tonight, and we'd have the victory over it, amen. And it's a wonderful thing. The one thing I always said in my life is, I want to be able to when I'm on my deathbed, if the Lord tarries, and I'm on my deathbed, I want to say that I have conquered any sin that the Lord showed me that I was guilty of. I want to say I've conquered that sin. I hope that's what we want, what, as a church, what we want to say is where we've fought the good fight, where we kept the faith. Just go to one more scripture. Titus, please. You know, the hardest challenge in this world is just to live godly. Because there's so much stuff, so many areas of temptation that we're faced with. And it's getting harder and harder. That's why we need to get more and more in the book. That's why we need to be more and more faithful to the Lord. Because this world is just so wicked. Let me just go to Titus. Titus 2 verse 12. Actually, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation that had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And notice why we're supposed to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking unto the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we're supposed to live soberly and righteously. Because He could come back at any moment. Are you ready? Are you ready? As a Christian, are you really ready? Have you just checked? You know, the Bible says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. That's a great scripture. Because the Bible says, if I really judge my heart, and I really check myself out, God's going to have respect for that. Amen. Have I really judged myself? Is he really our very best friend? Turn to Psalm 73, please. Psalm 73. You know, we say Jesus is our best friend, but if he's really our best friend, shouldn't we be looking forward to him coming? Amen. Shouldn't we love his appearing? If he really is your best friend, notice what David says in Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom I have in heaven but Jesus, and there is none upon earth that I desire but Jesus. Amen. I know I'm changing that a little bit, but I just want to say is David had just one hope, and that was that he knew that God loved him, and this was before the cross, and he didn't realize that this person named Jesus was going to come and die. But if you live in the New Testament, maybe that verse would be a little bit different. But the thing I want to say is, David just had a longing for his best friend to show up. And here it says, whom I am in heaven but thee, and there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Man, the greatest love of all is the love of Calvary. Greater love no man to lay down his life for his friend. He did it for you. He did it for me. And if you're not saved tonight, if you've any doubt of your salvation, please listen here, any doubt, make sure you get it dealt with, amen. Make sure, because 1 second may be too late. He said he's going to come back in a twinkle of an eye. Man, that's quick. That's quick. I wouldn't be able to finish my next sentence and he could come back. That's how quick he could come back. We need to make sure. You know, some people say, well, maybe if you left this church, you got into an accident, and you could be just before the Lord, just that very, very moment. But you know, he could come back at any moment. Any moment. Are you truly saved? Has it become a day and an hour where you've said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I turn from my sin. I repent of my sin. And you began, you know, like Isaiah, you began to see that sinfulness in your eyes. You know, it's a true conversion. A lot of times in churches, man, there's false people who say they're saved, and then a couple of years later, they're back in the world. Man, that happens in churches. We need to make sure there was a day and an hour where you asked Jesus to be your Savior, and make sure of that. And then as a Christian, are you ready for him to come back? Do you really love his appearing? Because he can come back at any moment. He's the only, he's your true friend, and he loves you more than you'll ever know. I just want to just realize that just in a heartbeat, he could be here. You could be standing before a holy, holy God. Revelation chapter 1 talks about John, and he sees the glory, the splendor of our Lord. And he talks about eyes of purity. It talks about out of his mouth going a two-edged sword, just a picture of the Lord. That is the kind of judgment seat of Christ that we face one day. So we need to understand that he can come back at any moment. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. And Lord, I just pray, oh God, if there's anyone here not saved, and if there's anyone here and maybe they're just messing around with some sin and God is grieving your heart, I pray that you would help them realize they need to give that thing up. Lord, I pray you'd help them realize that this moment they need to give that thing up. And I pray, Lord, God, I pray you bless your people. I pray you keep them alive. Just keep the fire in their bones, amen. I just pray you just help them, Lord. I pray that we would just, Lord, every day upon this planet, we would look for you, because you're coming back very, very soon. We would look for you, Lord. And Lord, when our faith begins to waver, when our love begins to grow cold, Lord, that we would look for you. We would look up and rejoice, for our redemption draweth nigh. Father, I ask that you'd help these Christians, these godly people. And I pray, if there's anyone here not saved, Lord, I pray that you provide, Lord, just this night for that opportunity to get saved. And I ask all these things in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.